Welcome to Old Town New World. We're here at Millstone Pizza in Old Town Rock Hill. I'm Jason Broadwater.
I'm Chris Gervais.
And we're here to talk about the ever-changing world of small town USA.
Can I cut it off?
No. Okay.
All right, so today I'm wanting to talk about, Chris, this conference that I'm going to next week. The conference is in Maryland, and it's an economic development conference, and it's called the Mako Summer Conference, and there's going to be 2,000 people there, the governor, most of the mayors, and the whole point of the conference is economic development, and they've actually asked me to come and be the keynote speaker at this conference, so I'm very excited about it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
I know it is. I'm humbled by it and excited about it, and what's cool about it is, you have all these county folks and you have city folks, and they're all economic development oriented, and they have chosen to hear from a speaker who talks about urban revitalization of relatively small spaces. And, you know, if you look at a downtown in any one of these towns across the United States, rarely do you have some huge employer or some billion-dollar business move into these downtowns. They're not like, you know, like when BMW moved into South Carolina or Amazon moved into Charleston. They're not occupying the downtown. So those are the big traditional economic development projects. But what we're coming to understand is that the impact of the downtown is so big and hard to quantify. The quality of life issues of a downtown, I mean, increasingly that's why a company wants to locate to a city. It's because their executives and their employees have a place to hang out. They have a walkable urban space where there's a pizza place and a coffee shop and some nightlife and live music, you know?
I know, definitely. I think that's, I mean, I always grew up under the impression that that's what went on in big cities, and I was in a hick town where, you know, we went to work at a factory and drank beer on the weekend, and that was our life. I definitely think that it's got to be interesting for any corporation or business of any size, really, that I think geographically the possibilities for where to locate and stuff have absolutely opened up in the past couple of years. I mean, I guess that maybe it's partially because of the internet, but I'm sure there's other just general cultural reasons for that.
Yeah, I'm sure, man. I mean, there's all kinds of things converging at this point. You know, you have, one thing that the theme of what I'm talking about in Maryland is this idea of talent and how talent, recruiting and retaining talent is so critical, because think about it, man. Companies, when you interview companies, you ask them what they need. Nowadays, they say talent. But it's not the old, like, you don't come in and push buttons and twist bottle caps. I mean, we're asking people to innovate, you know. So companies say, I need talent. So here we got a community trying to recruit a business, and the business is trying to recruit talent. So you go ask talent what they want, and they want a community. So it's like, right, a cycle, you know what I mean? So the talent wants to be in a cool, hangoutable downtown and an urban environment, and the company wants the talent. Well, what we're learning about economic development is we've got to recruit and retain the talent so that the companies will move here, you know? And I'm with you on growing up in this town. I mean, I grew up thinking Rock Hill was the lamest place on the planet.
Yeah.
And part of that, I guess, is the juvenile experience, you know? But part of it is that this place didn't look like, you know, Charleston or
right,
you know, any hip cool town, you know.
Yeah, and not to you know, downplay like Rock Hill, it's just I think the general impression when you grow up in a small town, that's just the way it is, you know. And I knew living here, we had to go to Charlotte to do anything. I mean, and you know, I mean, I remember, of course, my parents are like, well, when I was their age, you know, right, we had to drive to Charlotte just to, you know, eat a ham sandwich.
And we had to drive uphill both ways.
Yeah,
in our wagon.
And we're still, you know, even growing up here, I mean, it was just a normal small town. We had a shopping mall and a movie theater and all that stuff. But definitely Charlotte had just cooler stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, in general. And
so you look at, like, with this conference, you look at Baltimore's the only city that's going to come that is way different than Rock Hill in terms of being a bigger city, you know. But all the rest of these counties are full of cities like Rock Hill and even smaller, and they're all grappling with the same thing. We had this historic little downtown that we all moved out of and let to kind of half decay, and now it's all empty, half empty. We're trying to revitalize it, but why? Just from nostalgia? I mean,
right,
you know, I've heard so many times, man, people say, well, you know, yeah, I'd love to have a pizza place, but a pizza place doesn't create jobs. We got to be about creating jobs. And, you know, they take on this kind of like tone of, and I said this too, and it's my friends that say it, but to take on this tone of kind of, I'm an action-oriented businessman, so I want to talk about jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, if you think about it, our quality of life, economic development is about quality of life. You know, it's not just about jobs. I don't want to work in a coal mine. You know? I want to work in a cool environment where I want to enjoy myself, you know? And so, you know, what we're learning is that economic development has to be about creating a quality of life that includes employment and jobs. That's why they've asked me to come speak. All these towns are saying, how do I revitalize my downtown? Well, I could put a pizza place in it, but why? And the answer is, here's why. Because if you want talented, innovative people to work in businesses and live in your town, they have to have a life, or they won't live there. You know?
Right. Well, I think that, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are sort of have similar kind of knowledge to you, but it's like, you know, they pick someone like you to speak at this thing, and like, maybe you could speak a little bit to how you run your business and your lookout and your perspective on the whole thing, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think Revenflow is a good example of, like, you know, as small a company as Revenflow is, I mean, the sort of driving focus of the company and stuff, I think is, I personally, working there, that it is very positive, and I think it's a great, you know, way to do things. So maybe you could talk about that a little bit, I guess, personal for Revenflow.
Well, thank you. I think that we've created that culture together, and, you know, we're creating it together, and that's the important piece. It's all about engagement, you know, and that's one thing I'm going to talk about next week is there's an answer to the question. You know, the question is, how do we recruit and retain talent? And whether you're a business or whether you're a community, everybody's asking that question because they know what I was just talking about. You know, they know that to grow the economy or grow the business, you have to have talent. So everybody's saying, how do we recruit and retain talent? Well, there's a one-word answer to that question. Everybody says there's no silver bullet answer. There's actually a one-word answer to that question, and the answer is engagement. Mm-hmm. You know, if people are engaged, if people feel like they're participating and co-creating what's going on, you know? I mean, I just got out of a meeting where we were meeting with the newspaper reporter to tell them about this pilot project we're doing with Winthrop University. So we got a group of MBA students who are going to use a Remus, this technology we've built, you know, to where you can prototype properties. You can give your input in your community about what should be in your downtown and whatnot. They're going to use that technology to create prototypes of real businesses that they want to see in Rock Hill, right? And so I asked the reporter to come meet us, and he was interviewing the students on this project, and it was amazing to hear what they had to say. They were saying everything. Like they were saying, it's like they read our script, you know what I mean? They were saying everything.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. They were saying things like, you know, I didn't even know there was anything downtown. Now that I've gotten involved in this project, I go eat a millstone every week.
Yeah. That's so frustrating. I mean, it really is a good, it's an awesome area downtown Rock Hill, and it is one of those things where just till people are aware of it. You know, sometimes it seems like, you know, you have big cities where obviously there's stuff to do, and then you have like something like Asheville that's just sort of known as just being a really cool place to go, and there's tons of cool stuff there. When the truth is, I'm sure that there are many other towns like Rock Hill that have plenty of really cool, interesting things for people to go do, you know?
And interesting, cool people that if they had places to convene, they would connect and then things happen. Like the unpredictable things. You know, when people start bands and they start little mini movements and they start farmers markets and they start, you know, because you bring people into the same place, then you have things happen. Unexpected creative things happen.
Yeah, I think the core thing is it's like, you know, you talk about people who are just so business minded that they're like, you know, well, I want to create jobs, and which obviously yes, but
yes.
The thing is like, I think that, you know, many sort of black and white kind of perspectives on business and numbers and that kind of thing, I mean, I think it's had many, many times now throughout the course of human history to prove that it isn't flawless to be a bull and just be like, oh, this is the way it is, and jobs are all that matters, and you go get in that coal mine or you go do whatever,
you just
make those numbers happen. And I think that the time is, you know, I think it's time for a change in that, and underneath all of that is the human element, and that's really the problem with any kind of enterprise, is once you remove the human element, I think you're destined for failure. And then obviously there may be periods where you're successful, but you still live in a world populated by human beings, not numbers.
Exactly.
So, I mean, when you lose sight of that, I think that's a mistake. And I do feel a positive change in, you know, in the country. And
I do too, man. Well, and I think, you know, a lot of it's being capitalistically driven. I mean, if you look at companies, you can't just have people come in to your business and say, here's how you do your job. You do A, B, C, D, E, and F, and that's how you do your job. Increasingly, every job is like, I need your creativity, your innovation. So you have the kind of whole human come into the job. So you can't just say, I wish they were all robots so I could just tell them exactly how to do their work. You know, we're demanding of people to put in their creativity and innovation. And, you know, you have to approach that completely differently, you know. And you need a different type of person. You need a different, it's a whole different environment, you know. These MBA students, one of the cool things about their ideas when they were prototyping their business ideas is that their ideas were not contained within the walls of their business idea. So in other words, like if they wanted to open a movie theater or whatever it was, a downtown movie theater, you know, one thing that they're interested in is all this other stuff that seems unrelated. Yeah. Like one guy has this idea about walking trails connecting the university and the downtown. Mm-hmm. It was a genius idea, and he talked about it more and more, and it was so wonderful to hear him talk about it. Well, yes, okay, ultimately that might bring more people to his taco restaurant that he's wanting to open. Mm-hmm. But he's not even thinking about it that way. I mean, yes, he thinks about it that way to some extent, but he's thinking so much bigger than his own four walls. Yeah. He's thinking that will change the nature of this community. It will make people... Yeah, we're good, thank you. Yeah,
thanks.
It'll bring people here. It'll make people stay here, the college students. So it's this almost socially driven capitalism or something, entrepreneurialism, that they're thinking about improving the quality of everybody's lives, and in that context, they're thinking about how their business will be successful. Versus, look, I don't care about walking trails, you know, I don't care about public art, I just want my business to be successful, period. They don't think that way.
I think there's really only one good reason to start a business, and that's because you're passionate about some aspect of it, be it the business itself, or the community that, you know, you think you're solving a problem with that business. And I think that if you don't do it for that reason, if there's not something in it that you just truly are, you know, passionate about besides making money, there's no way it's going to succeed. There's just too many small little things that are going to find their way to the surface and be a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that, you know, I think that any true entrepreneur is, even the most successful ones that make a ton of money, you know, over and over and over again, you hear them say, you know, I don't work for money. I mean, they you know, happen to be very good at making a whole bunch of money.
Right.
You know, but it's like, I make money so I can continue to do whatever the hell I want to do.
Right, right.
Like, that's entrepreneurialism. It's like, I want to spend my time creating something.
Exactly.
Or co-creating it or whatever. But really, any creation ends up being co-creation because you find that you can't create anything by yourself.
Right.
So you're either really good at recruiting people to help you create something, or you're good at, you know, helping somebody else help create something.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's awesome.
Right. Thank you, dude. So, you know, I think the amazing part about this to me is that businesses and communities have more in common than ever. You know, we've seen this kind of convergence of, and we see it with the downtowns and the urban districts a lot, that they're both facing the same issues. And it all comes down to talent, you know, because a community is nothing but the people that are the community. You know, it's the people that occupy the space that decide what the space is going to be. I heard this guy say one time, if we continue to make spaces that we don't care about, then we will have a world that we don't care about. You know,
yeah.
So if we're making strip malls because they're economically they're cheap and easy to build.
Yeah, and the research told us to. Yeah.
Yeah. Then what about the people that live on the road that has the strip malls? Are they happier people?
Right.
Does it affect their life in a positive way? You know.
Right.
And so same thing's true with the business. I mean, if we improve productivity by sacrificing happiness, that improvement in productivity will only—it's very temporary, because productivity will end up going down because people hate being there.
Right.
Same thing to the community. The community, you might save some tax dollars by doing this or that or whatever, or skipping on this, but people will leave the community, at least creative, productive people that are going to, you know, make something amazing in the world will leave that community because the community is not investing in itself.
Right. Know? Yeah, I think that with the, I mean, just because of the internet and just general cultural shifts, knowledge in general, you know, isn't as exclusive as it used to be. Knowledge about anything.
Right.
And I think that that has changed the nature of jobs, because that has, it has made an increased importance on someone's ability to apply
things
that they've learned.
Things in a way.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's also, but it's also changed the consumer, you know, because it's like people are just smarter in that way. And we're, as consumers, they're just smarter. And you can't kind of pull the wool over their eyes. And,
right.
And if you, if your business isn't, doesn't have sort of the right motivations behind it, or at least understand why it exists and all that. I mean, I think people smell that, you know, and they just see it now. I because people are just informed, and they're sort of in general excited about being so, and sort of demand certain things out of whatever services are provided.
No, I hear you, man. It's interesting. When I was when I first started writing poetry, I was faced with the question of, when do I stop saying I want to be a writer and start saying I am a writer?
Yeah.
And somebody told me, or I read somewhere, it said, you're a writer because you write.
Right.
There's no external justification that makes you a writer. You know, you're a musician because you play music. You know, you're an entrepreneur because you started a business. You know, so I think that what the internet and the culture around the internet has changed people in one significant way, which is the idea that anybody can create.
Thank you.
So, like, I can go on a website where people are having a conversation, and I can chime in. You know, I can create a digital graphic. I create an incredibly lame, not funny meme, you know, and I can do that myself. I don't need to hire a, quote, graphic art. I am a graphic artist because I created graphic art. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, and to a certain extent, you know, it creates, you know, the dreaded sea of mediocrity, but it also creates this just willingness to participate. So you look at communities and you look at businesses and you say, okay, if there's Class C office space that's cheap, for a few hundred bucks, $500, I can rent this place a month, then I can start the business of my dream. It might be a terrible idea, you know, I'm going to sell buttons to sew on your shirt.
Yeah.
But who knows, you might end up being the leading button craft salesperson in the region, and you're selling them on the internet. I have no idea, that could be a great idea. But if it fails, you've only lost several thousands of dollars, not several hundreds of thousands. You don't have to file bankruptcy. I mean, in other words, you can give it your shot, your dream shot. And people are increasingly just willing to, just like on the internet, everybody's willing to chime in and participate. In a community, it's the same thing. Hell, I'll try something. I'll start a business. We don't feel like that only Bank of America and GE can provide us with jobs. I'll just create a job if I don't have a job.
Right.
It's a whole different world.
Well, you know, when you use the word talent in the context of jobs in general, because, you know, I mean, some people, when you say the word talent, they think Steve Vai is talented, you know? So they're like, oh, so we're all supposed to play guitar solos.
You have to shred or you can't work here.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, you know, to use the word talent in such a broad sense really does kind of imply people who are good at something, but also good at, like, if it's that broad of a context, good at whatever job there is.
Yeah.
You know, and I think then that comes back to that human element. Because, I mean, I just truly believe that, I mean, maybe it's just my upbringing that, you know, it's like that if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the whole idea that no matter the job, like I said, basically it's something that exists in the process of humans living together. I mean, at the core of it. And I think that it's, like I said, it always just comes down to not losing. It's so easy just in general for a million reasons to lose sight of the humanity of whatever in a job or whatever. And that passion that I'm talking about, I think that that's all that is. Like, if the idea of, like, saying, well, the only real reason to start a business is passion, if that sounds too hippie for you, then in other terms, it's like saying that to be good at a business, you must have a clear vision at the core and heart of it.
And that's the passion.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, speaking of shredding, now that they sell desktop shredders, I always imagine that'd be like a little Steve Vai on your desk with a double neck guitar just tearing it up.
A desktop shredder? I would buy that real quick.
I would totally buy that.
I would buy that real quick.
This conference in Maryland is a county conference versus a municipality conference, which, you know, my kind of focus and specialty is with municipalities. And so it's interesting that what I find fascinating about county economic development is you're usually talking about building big business parks on giant tracts of land and bringing in big employers that employ, you know, 1,000 people and all this. And obviously communities still need that because you got a ton of people that don't match the skill sets of the kind of new technology stuff, and they have to have employment and all that. But increasingly, even those executives and people have to who are out in the county area have to have an outlet for, you know, want an outlet for living. They're not going to just move somewhere because the money's right. They're not going to move to the middle of nowhere, quote unquote, because they're paying me a lot of money. They want an urban environment to go to. They got to have nightlife. They got to have culture. They have to have that. And then counties, I think another reason why the conference is interested in this topic of discussion that we always talk about is that a county is a collection of municipalities and then the rural places in between them, you know. And it's the urban places in the counties that are the economic centers of that county. So if you have a college in your county, a technical college, and maybe you have a university or you have a small private college or whatever, well, those are your centers of talent. And every business, whether they're a big business or small business, needs those people to come into their business. So they're not all baby boomers about to retire. They need these millennials to come in to their organization, and they need... You know, the hilarious example I give is that every business is run by baby boomers. They hire their first millennial and they say, "All right, you manage our social media."
You're right, exactly. That's hilarious.
You know, and they're like, "Well, I don't do social media." They're like, "Well, you're young. You, of course you do
of
social media.
You do. You play your Sega Genesis and you get on your MySpace."
I mean, you must have a GeoCities account, right? So anyway, but what happens is that a millennial who is willing and passionate and interested in creating their own reality kind of can respond to that by saying, okay, well, let me kind of describe the job that we need to have here that would be my job. Like, we need to take photos, we need to do graphic design work on the photos, we need to write content, we need to be participating in conversations. And all the stuff that people would have said in the past is, oh, well, that's not work. You're just creating art and having conversations with people. Like, no, that is work.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
And the younger folks are defining those jobs. They're creating their own jobs. It didn't even exist 20 years ago.
Right, right. Yeah? I mean, in terms of, like, how different things are now from they were 20 years ago, you know, in that way, I mean, look at, like, marketing, you know, in general is completely based on, like, sarcasm and
but I think that speaks
to the shift of it's something just would have been completely like okay like I think that if you were you know if you were in a marketing team and if you presented an idea from 2013 if you presented that idea in 1975 you'd be fired
and
sometimes now that turns out being negative because we get all these commercials that are the same joke and everything, but the truth is I think it speaks to the change you know in the culture that people are like I said, it's almost like kind of over it, kind of like, well, we understand there are tasks to do and there are these things, but they have a more clear perspective of just the general human experience.
Yeah.
And it's all over every part of life. You know, now it's all over like what kind of toothpaste I buy.
Right.
And it's part of my job. I mean, just the concept of the human experience is no longer compartmentalized into I go to work and do this and then I come home and do this and then and
it's a whole life experience.
Right. And I just mean the marketing thing is indicative of that.
It is, absolutely, man. It is. And you know, I mean that's what we're learning with our communities, you know, as we look to improve the quality of when we look to do economic development. So job, you know. What we're really doing is it's this circle that I've drawn out 100 times, man, and I'm gonna put up on a big screen in Maryland. It is what I said a few minutes ago, that you know, communities want businesses, businesses want talent, talent wants community.
Yeah.
So you know, they want a whole life within their job and outside of their job. They don't want to compartmentalize in the way that it used to be done. You know what I mean?
Right.
They don't want the work life and then the home life.
Right.
It's a whole life.
Yeah, but the thing, and that seems, you know, that's kind of it's a snake eating its tail, but at the same time, I think if your community or your business, your corporation, whatever it is, I think if your intentions are in the right place and you're trying to, if you can show that you're on the same page with those people that are looking for that community,
right.
Even if all the, you know, even if, okay, well, your small town doesn't have
five craft breweries, right. And it doesn't have all these things. I think that if you at least understand where you need to be heading,
yeah.
I think it says a lot, does a lot.
And the most important thing is authenticity. You know,
right,
let me be very, very clear that I'm not recommending that all economic developers start wearing skinny jeans. I'm talking about authenticity. You know, it's about people want to be part of something real. That's all it comes down to.
I think we will go on record that we officially are not condoning that anyone wear skinny jeans.
Well, I mean, you know, you can get hurt. Please read the instructions before you put them on.
Yes.
And wear a helmet.
Don't learn that the hard way like Uncle Chris, that skinny jeans are volatile.
And flammable. All right. Anyway, we appreciate you being with us today, and hope that our circular logic at least wrapped itself around you in an uncomfortable way for a little while. So come back and join us next week on Old Town New World.
Might as well jump.